Yesterday was a special day here at church, as I mentioned. There was some decorating going on. Now, who doesn't love some good Christmas decoration? Now, guys, don't raise your hand too fast. Your wife will surely be offended. There's just in many people just a love to decorate for Christmas. Now, you see here, we've got this beautiful tree set up. Now, this tree, I don't know how long, Mrs. Anderson would probably know, but we've probably had this tree for a little while. Isn't it a beautiful tree? Now, there's a reason why we've been able to have this tree for a while. This tree is a lasting tree. Now, we call this tree a what? A fake tree? An artificial tree? Maybe some of you have this kind of tree in your house. This is just a fake tree. There's nothing alive about it. It's dead as a doornail, but that means it can last for a really long time, right? You put it in your basement, you put it in the Christmas decoration closet, and it's going to last for a really long time. That's kind of cool thing about that tree. Is it one tree, you own it for your whole life, and it's always going to be good. Well, yesterday was a special day as well in the Magnuson household at 121 South Washington Avenue, because we got a Christmas tree too. Now, we didn't pull our Christmas tree from our storage area downstairs. We drove out behind the basilica there off Lindale Avenue, and we went to that old farmer's market, and there were a whole bunch of trees standing up there. All these people brought in trees from all over the state. And sure enough, we went walking around. Oh, that one's a little big. Oh, that one's not so good. I like that one. And sure enough, we found the perfect tree for us. And they gave us a fresh cut on the bottom. And we went and we put that tree and we stuck it up in our tree stand. Now, that tree is not, the tree that we bought is not a fake tree like that one. It's a real tree. It's a real living tree. You put water in the bottom and it still slows down the decay. But what happens when you have a real tree? What happens by about January 1st, or if you don't water it by about December 5th? What's going to happen to that tree that you purchase? What happens to it? It dies. What happened to those beautiful pine needles that are so green and so great when you first pick it up? What happens to those? What color do they turn? They turn yellow, they turn brown, they fall off. And pretty soon, where is that tree going right after Christmas? Right out to the dump. Right out to where we're going to get rid of that thing because that's dead. Now, notice something here. That tree is lasting, but it's not living. You understand that? That tree is going to last for a while, but it's not alive. Now, what about my tree that I bought? It's living, but it's not lasting. Now, you know, there's this idea of this tree that lives and that then dies is something that we see all throughout Scripture. And we see it here in the passage that Brother Jerry read for us this morning. Take a look at this verse here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass. You might could even say it's like a Christmas tree. And all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Friends, the truth is that we are all like that living Christmas tree in that we're simply counting down the days until we die, until we wither, until we fall away. And that fate is we see all around us. Every single person in this room, unless Jesus comes back first, will die, just like that Christmas tree that's sitting in my living room. We live in a dying world. This world someday is going to be destroyed. This entire world is going to vanish, is going to be dissolved, Peter says. And everything we see tells us this is a dying world. It's a decaying world. It's a corrupting world. But Peter holds up this wonderful contrast. to a people, a world that is dying and decaying. Look what Peter says. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, he says, unlike you, this is lasting. This word of God that you've heard is going to last. It's going to be there. Now look at verse 23. The word of God which liveth and abideth forever. In other words, it's not just going to last, the word of God, because it's like that fake tree over there. There's nothing to it. It's just going to sit there and keep on going forever and ever. It's going to last because it is living. It is powerful. It is dynamic. The message today is entitled, The Living Word in a Dying World. The Living Word in a Dying World. And the question that I'm going to ask for each of you this morning is, are you pursuing a dying world and all the trinkets and everything that a dying world can offer? Or are you pursuing and finding your pleasure and seeking your benefit in a living word? There's one that the Apostle Peter would hold out for you this morning. Let's start, first of all, by understanding the fate. Let's understand a fate. That fate is what is made up and what is happening all around us in a dying world. It's death. First of all, that fate is common. It's common. Now, we have mentioned here today these flowers to be in remembrance of our founding pastor, Roger Magnuson. It was a year ago that he went home to be with the Lord. I was there. I was in the hospice room with him. It's amazing to me that it's been a year. That year, in a sense, has gone by just like that. The time, as I look back, and even Jerry was saying today, I can't believe it's actually been a year since he's passed. But then I look back at all the time that I spent with him. Nearly 29 years of life that was with my father. And I think, I can't believe how fast that went. When I look back and see those nearly 29 years that I spent with him, it went like that. It was there, so he was there, and we had those wonderful 29 years, and suddenly they were gone. And it seems like it was just yesterday that they started. It's a common fate to every single one of us that we are going to die. All flesh is as grass. All of us are like a pine tree that's been cut down, and it's just a matter of time until we wither and decay. The Bible says in Romans that death has passed upon all men because all have sinned. The wages of our sin is death. Because we are sinners, and because we have passed, sin has been passed down to us through the representative of the human race, Adam, we are born to die. That is what we are. And Scripture even says something else. It says death reigned. What does it mean to reign? Not rain coming down from the sky, but death rules. Death is what none of us can get away from. Oh, we struggle against death. We fight against death. We do our best to push off dying. I remember that with my father, just seeing, even though he was in a coma, he was not consciously fighting death. His body was fighting death to the last, with every last bit of energy and strength that he had. And we do it consciously. I don't want to die. I'm to stay away from what might cause death in me. And the thought of death strikes us with terror, with fear, for those of us who don't know the Lord. I don't want to die. But the fate is common to every single one of us. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. You are sitting there in the prime of your life sometimes, right? For some of you. You teenager boys sitting over here. You, it seems like your entire life is set before you. You girls right here. You children, you say, my life is stretching out endlessly in front of me. But then we sit back and realize that each one of us is just dying. Every single one of us is dying and corroding right now. Because secondly, not only is this fate common, it is corrupting. It is corrupting. All flesh is as grass. And look what Peter says here. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Think of all the beauties of a flower. A rose growing up in a garden. A tulip growing up. And that beautiful bouquet that we see, if you will, in a garden, in plants that grow up. And then we see a time of drought, and what happens? Those beautiful colors, those beautiful reds and greens and yellows are now faded and decayed and wither, and then they fall off to the ground and they're nothing. That's us, folks. I don't care how glorious you are today. I don't care how famous you are. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how rich you are. You are corrupting right now. The force of your body is going to weaken and wane and pass away someday. Someday you won't be able to jump as high as you once did. Someday you won't be as strong as you once were. You won't be able to run as fast. Your mind won't work as well. Your speaking won't be quite as crisp. Your music skills will pass away. It's all fading right now. It's all a process of withering and decay. And thirdly, this fate is complete. This fate is absolutely final and done. Have you ever heard the saying, you can't take it with you? What does that mean? None of the stuff that you possess right now, none of the money that's in your bank account, none of your talents are going to follow you to heaven or to hell. It's done right now. It's complete. You know something? You may be here out here today with absolutely no musical talent whatsoever. No musical ability whatsoever. You can't even sing a note on key. But guess what? Your dust in your grave is going to be no more valuable than the dust of J.S. Bach. But Bible says that we're going to go back to dust. That's what we are. Our body gets put in the ground and it decays and it goes back to dust. We're all going to go to dust unless the Lord returns first. That's the fate of all of us. And it's a complete fate. There's nothing worth hanging on to. We are like that pine tree that is cut down and it's dying. And after Christmas, we go throw it in the dumpster. It has no value. That is the fate of this body. And that's the fate that Peter holds out to the people that he's speaking to. He's saying, this is you. This is me. This is each of us for this dying world. Second of all, we see not just the fate. We see a fixture. We see a fixture. I love what Peter says here, how he contrasts this. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's that seed that perishes, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord. In other words, the word of God is different. The word of God is not something that's going to fall away. The word of God is not something that's going to wither. Now here's a question for you children out there this morning. Where do we find the word of God? Bible. What do we call that book?
Bible.
The Bible. This is the word of God. In other words, think about what the contrast that Peter is making. All of us are like that old Christmas tree that's going to be cast out and thrown away and discarded in the ground, and it's going to go to dust. But this word, the words contained in these pages, will endure forever. They will keep on going forever into the future. Now let's take this apart and understand what this means. First of all, to understand that the word of God is a fixture, we need to understand that it's conquering. It's conquering. What does it mean to conquer? It means to merge victorious. It means to win, to prevail. If you're in a wrestling match with someone and you're grappling with that person, what does it mean to conquer that person? It means they end up on the bottom and they're pinned and you're on top of them and you come out and the referee holds your hand up and says, you won. You know, if you're going to understand that the Word of God is a fixture, it's going to abide forever, it's never going to pass away, do you know what that means? It means it has to prevail. Because throughout history, the Bible has never lacked for enemies. There's been no book in the history of mankind that has been hated more than this book. Why? Because this book tells us what we don't want to hear. This book tells us you're a sinner. We say, no, I don't want to believe that. I want to believe I'm a good person. I want to believe that I can get to heaven on my own. This book stands up and says you can't get to heaven on your own. You need the salvation that's offered through Jesus Christ. Man says, well, I've done really good things. I'm a good person. The Bible stands against that person and says, no, you need to repent. You need to stand with God and look at yourself and say, yes, I am a sinner. We like to hear messages of peace, as the Old Testament false prophets would say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. We want to see tidings of good peace to all of us. The Word of God says, unless ye repent, you will likewise perish. You will be punished in a place called hell. Those are words we don't like to hear. And so man has, from the beginning of this book, tried to chip away and hammer away at the Word of God. It went back to the very beginning. As the serpent asked Eve, did God really say that? He was trying to undermine the Word of God from the very, very beginning. And now today we see these attacks repeated over and over against the Word of God. But friend, you know what? If the Word of God is enduring forever, that must mean the Bible, the Word of God, is coming out on top. I love that old poem. You may have heard it before. Hammer away, ye hostile hands. Your hammers break. God's anvil stands. Hammer away, ye hostile hands. Attack that Word of God. Attack the truth of Scripture. Say it's not right. Say it's not correct. It's not accurate. It's full of error. Hammer away. Your hammers break. God's anvil stands. All the people who are standing up to criticize the Word of God, standing up to say it's not true, it's full of error, are one day going to be judged by that very Word of God. They are going to bow their knee before a sovereign God and admit, you were right. Your Word was true. And it obtained a victory over sinful man. Do you understand that the Word of God is conquering? It's not going to be defeated. It is going to keep on going, is going to endure forever. Because secondly, it's continuing. It's a continuing fixture. If it's conquering, if it's prevailing over everything that the world will throw at it, if it will never be contradicted in its principles and in its truth, then we can have confidence that it's going to be continuing and it's going to abide and endure forever. What a wonderful thing that is, that we understand that the Word of God, like God Himself, is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus said in Matthew 24, He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. My words will never pass away. Why is that? Because, friends, it's the Word of God. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And so if we serve a living and abiding God, it sure makes a lot of sense that the words of God, the Word of God, is also going to be living and abiding. That's what Peter says right here. All of you are going to fade away and pass away. But there's a Word of God that's contained in this book. We read last night in our Bible reading, our daily Bible reading from the book of Peter, the last chapter, where Peter says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's why it's the Word of God, because it wasn't man speaking, it was God speaking through man. So first of all, we understand this fixture, that it's conquering. Secondly, that it's continuing. Third, that it's current. If God's Word is conquering, it's going to conquer all its enemies. If it's continuing, that means it's going to go all the way into the future with no end. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Then do you know what we can also be confident of? That it's current. Have you ever picked up a newspaper and started flipping through it, and you were reading these stories, and then you said, wait a second. You flip back to the front. What date is this? Oh, it's November 24th. A six-day-old paper. I don't care that much about a six-day-old paper. I want to read a November 30th newspaper. I want to see what's happening today, right now. Do you know one of the things that man tries to do against the Word of God? Oh, that old book. Why would you follow what some Bronze Age shepherds had to say? Why would you follow those old principles? And we're so much more enlightened today. We so much more understand everything that's going on. You're going back to your old superstitious little book. Well, what they ignore is that the Word of God is current because it's living. Because it is alive. It's not like that tree over there that's going to last for quite some time, but it's dead as a doornail. The Word of God is alive because it was spoken by a living Spirit. People spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And since the Holy Ghost is the same as He was 2,000 years ago, as He is today, as He will be 2,000 years into the future, if He was speaking through people 2,000 years ago, we can be assured that His message is just as valid today and will still be just as valid 2,000 years into the future. Well, look what 1 Peter says. The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Do you know the Word of God is the solution? It provides the answer to every single problem we have in our modern world. What are some of those problems that we see today? Oh, what about all the people living in such suffering and poverty? People who are homeless and suffering. Well, you know what place might be a good place to start? Scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's a pretty good solution to the problems we're facing today. What about the problems that we see of domestic abuse and violence and assault that we see in our very homes? Scripture says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You think that's a principle that would solve the problems we see? What about the problems we see today in this community of such violence, a city that has been known as Murderapolis? Young men and young women being gunned down in cold blood. You know where a principle we might go to solve that problem is? What about Romans, which says, don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good? What about that passage that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Don't go around and take vengeance. Don't go around and be angry. Don't take matters into your own hands. You think that principle would solve the problems that we're seeing in today's day and age? And you can go down the list, go down every single societal pathology, go down every piece of cultural disease that we see in our society, and this book has the answer. Why? Because it's the Word of God that answered every problem that existed 2,000 years ago. It answers every problem of today, and it will answer every problem of our age until Jesus Christ returns. That's the Word of God. It is alive. It is not dead. Now, what a conviction that is to us who open up this Word as a matter of routine. And really, we could sleep our way through it. We page through this book and we get done our Bible reading for the day and we close and we say, well, there's that. I got it done. We're treating it exactly like that fake Christmas tree right there. oh, this book isn't alive. Our body language says, our mindset says, our mentality says, I just got to get through it. It's still going to be here tomorrow. I'll pick it up and work on it then. No, friend. The Bible is living. The Word of God is living, and it stands in utter contrast to your life. What an oddity that each and every single one of us find it so compelling to pursue the trinkets of a dying world over the treasures of a living Word. Think about just as a matter of value. I pulled this from right near our apartment. This is a nice little stem of a plant. Now, this was a very beautiful flower at some point, likely in this little, right outside our apartment building. And now it's very decayed. It's been plucked. It's not going to last long. It's going to go in the garbage can. Now, if I were to hold this up for you and say, hey, how much do you think this is worth? Hey, any guys, you want to buy this? Give me a couple $100 for it. You'd say, why would I want this? Well, I'm going to go throw that in the trash. It's not worth anything. It's dead. It's not going to last at all. And then take, say, I don't know, a diamond ring. Hold on and say, hey, which one do you think is more valuable? Which one would you like to buy if you were going to invest in it? My man said it right here. You'd invest in the diamond ring. Why? Well, there are a number of reasons, but one of them is that this thing is going to be gone. It's not worth anything. We want something that's going to last. If you were looking at a car to buy, why would you pick the one that's at 200,000 miles over the one that's at 2,000 miles? You want the one that's going to last if all other things are equal. It's the same thing for us. Peter says every single one of us is dying. We are dying right now, and we are living in a world that is dying. We are living in a world that's just like this little stem. It's worth nothing. And yet our heart is so much to pursue it, to try to find our pleasure, to try to find our entertainment, to try to find our amusement, to try to find everything that we can find in all this dying world. When right here, in what I suspect is in just about every single one of your homes, is a Word of God that is alive, that is living, and will continue living far into the future. What are you valuing? What are you valuing this morning? What does your life say that you are choosing? So first of all, we see here the fate. The fate is common. It's to all of us. It's to die. We are in the midst of a dying world. Secondly, there's the fixture. It's a living Word. It's a living Word in the midst of a dying world. And it'll continue and abide forever and ever. Let's understand third here, the force. The force. You see, what we have to understand about the Word of God and what Peter wants to make absolutely certain these recipients of this letter understand and each of us understand is that the Word of God is not just a fixture that is living and abiding forever. It is a powerful and dynamic force in your life and in my life. Look what he says here in verse number 23. Being born again. Now the grammar of that word essentially means having been born again. He's saying you have been born again. So being born again, since you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What is this force of the Word of God? What is its power to do in each of our lives? First of all, it's the power to create. It's the power to create. Look what he says here. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now, if you want to, maybe some of you have done this a little assignment in your science class at some point. Maybe you've taken a little styrofoam cup, you've put some dirt in there, you've put a soil in there, and let's say you want a plant to grow up. What do you need to put in that dirt to make sure something's going to grow up? Is the dirt just going to spring up something beautiful? What do you need to put in it? A what? Yep, Deona says it. You need a seed. Now, what's a seed? What does a seed look like? This is a tiny little thing. You put it down in the ground, you put it in the soil, and then what do? You better start watering it. You better make sure that everything has got sunlight. And then what's going to pop up? New life is going to pop up from a seed. New life is going to spring up, and you're going to have a plant. That's where these plants come from. They come from seeds. And what Peter is saying here is, we are born again, not of those seeds like in a plant, not even of a seed that would bring life to a human being. It's the seed of the Word of God. Now think about that for a moment. Think about that. The seed is the Word of God that creates new life in us. Do you remember the story in Luke 8, Jesus' parable of the sower who went out to sow? He went out by the wayside casting out seed, and his disciples want to know, Jesus, what does this mean? Do you know what Jesus said to them? He said it very plainly. He said, the seed is... What did he say? The seed is the Word of God. That's what he said. So when Peter says here that you are born, spiritually by the Word of God, what he's saying is the Word of God is the seed that goes into the soil of your heart and it creates new life. Now, this is a requirement for each and every single one of us because Jesus says you must be born again. If you're not born again, you're not going to see God. If you do not have new life springing up inside you, you're never going to be able to get to heaven. Why? Because your body is decaying. Your body is dying. This body is corrupting right now. And you're not going to be able to see an incorruptible God in your corruptible body. And so what needs to happen in your life is there needs to be a new birth. There needs to be a seed that is planted in you that springs up into new life. Now you say, wait a second. Does that mean I need to go back inside my mom and be born again and come out again the birth canal? No. What it means is a spiritual birth in your heart. The Word of God going into the soil of your heart, going into the soil of your life. And then when you receive that Word with faith, when you believe, there is a springing forth of new life, just like that plant springs up out of the ground. Friends, that's the Word of God. That is this Word of God for you. I love what Paul says in Romans. He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by what? The Word of God. In other words, this Word that is being preached to you today is going into your heart like a seed. Just like the seed goes into the ground. And if today you say you access that seed by faith, you say, yes, Lord, I believe, I trust in you for eternal life. I am seeking you for new life. That new life will spring forth in your heart. There will be a new person that is created. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There will be new life springing forth. You want to know what's wonderful about this new life? If it is incorruptible seed, if it's not seed that you put down in the ground and eventually that plant's going to grow up and someday it's going to die and it's going to wither away and it's not going to be there anymore. If you have been planted with incorruptible seed, what does that mean for that life in your heart? Is it corruptible or is it incorruptible? Is it corruptible or is it incorruptible? If it's incorruptible seed that started it, is it going to be corruptible or incorruptible? It's going to be incorruptible. It's new life that is fixed in you and that is preserved by the power of God for eternity future. I love what 1 Peter 1 says about salvation. 1 Peter 1 is all about salvation. If you read this chapter, it's all about how a person is saved. And I love what he says here in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. There's that new birth. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope within us. To an inheritance incorruptible, it can't perish, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. In other words, friends, when that Word of God enters the soil of your heart and through faith it springs up by the work of God into new life in you, it is incorruptible new life that is reserved in, and that is gives rise to a new place reserved for us in heaven. What an amazing thing that is. What a remarkable thing that we can have new life created in us by a living and abiding Word. Secondly, let's understand this power is not just to create, it's the power to change. It is the power to change. You see, salvation is not just about a new birth, a new seed springing up life in your heart by the Word of God. It's about a Word of God that is in you and that is changing you day by day. A Word of God that is living in you and that is continuing to conform you to the author of the Word, God. Now, I am so grateful for the testimony of my father's life. Because if you look at what I think really the real emphasis in the testimony of his life was, it was a belief that this Word of God could change a person from the inside out. I don't know, there has been probably very few people who took more seriously what the Word of God could do the living Word of God could do in transforming a person than Roger Magnuson. He gave his time to memorize the Word of God. He gave his time, his free time, to meditate on the Word of God. He gave his time to read the Word of God and study the Word of God. Why? Because he believed that it could change someone, that it was alive. That's the testimony of his life. What's the testimony of your life? Are you treating this Word like it's a living Word that is changing you day by day? Are you treating it as a living Word that will transform you, as Scripture says, from glory into glory into glory into greater glory day by day? Are you memorizing the Word of God and putting it in your heart, seeking for it to change you? Are you meditating on it and studying it for you? This is the Word of God. It's alive. Why do I, and maybe we, treat it like it's so dead? It is the power of God to change us. Paul was writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he said, Timothy, here's something you got to know. You got to know about the Word of God. You got to know about the power of God. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's living. It's alive. It was breathed by God. And it's profitable. That means it's worth something. It's valuable. It can do. It can have the power for what? For doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, may be complete, may be entire, may want nothing, may not be lacking in any area of their life. That's the Word of God. And Peter brings this right down to his audience. He says, seeing that you have purified your souls... See what he says here in verse 22? Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. He connects them. If you want to love people, if you want to have your heart changed to love other people, it needs to be done by the transforming power of God in your life. Are you allowing the Word of God to change you this morning? Are you seeking the treasures of God's Word? as the living word to change you? I pray that you are. So first of all, we see it's the power to create. Secondly, it's the power to change. And third, it's the power to cultivate. The power to cultivate. Why did I have Brother Con read into second in the second chapter of 1 Peter chapter 2? Because these two verses are linked together. Look what 1 Peter 2 and verse 1 says. Wherefore, now remember, we've been talking about this week after week when Scripture says therefore, wherefore, because we go back and we look. And so this says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. All right, here's another question for our children here today. You may have had a little baby brother or sister at one point, and when they come out of the womb and they're just still this small little baby, what are you going to feed them? Are you going to feed them Cheetos? No, you wouldn't do such a thing. What are you going to feed them? You're going to feed them milk, right? They need some milk to make them grow and to make them strong. And Peter says the exact same thing here. He says, if you've been born again by the Word of God, the living Word of God, that like that seed went down into your heart and sprang forth to produce new life, you are like a little baby. You are a newborn baby. That life needs food. And it's not going to be fed by the little trinkets that we find in this dying world, by going to get all the worldly junk food that we can and feeding it in to our spiritual self. No. It needs the Word of God, the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. What are you feeding yourself with today? Are you feeding yourself with the trash of a dying world? Or are you studiously and diligently feeding yourself with the Word of God that will live, that will abide forever, and that will be a power within you to change you for Jesus' sake? So friends, I ask you this as we close this morning. Are you chasing the trinkets of a dying world? Or are you chasing the treasures of a living word? Oh, that beautiful Christmas tree that we just put up, it smells so nice, it looks so nice, it's so wonderful. But it's going to die, it's going to pass away. That big, beautiful Christmas tree will be here next year, and the year after that, and the year after that. But there's no life there. How much better is it to invest, to give ourselves wholeheartedly, to pursue with all our heart the living and abiding Word of God, which is able to make us wise into salvation, and which is able to conform us by the power of God into the image of His Son. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your living Word. Thank you that it has the power to create new life in each of us. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who has never experienced that new life, Father, your word has gone forth today, and we know that that living and abiding word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which it pleases. I pray, Lord, that for those today who have heard the word of God, that seed has entered into the soil of their hearts, but Lord, it has not yet produced new life in them. Father, I pray that today would be the day that they would access that seed by faith, that they would trust in you and in the work of your Son's sacrifice on the cross for their eternal life. And Father, I pray that for those of us who have been feasting on the junk food of a dying world, that today we would have our sights fixed on the living and abiding Word that is so able to transform us and to draw us into conformity to more and more to your image. Now, we always leave a moment at the end of every service there's anyone here who's never trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, no new life has ever sprung forth in their heart, today can be the day of that salvation, friends. You're invited to slip out from the aisle where you're sitting now and come to the front, kneel, and someone will come and open the Bible and will show you how you can be born again, how you can experience this new and dynamic force in your life. Is there anybody who would come this morning and say, I need to be born again? And while we wait, Christian friend, let's ask the Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts, to show us whether we are investing in the living and abiding Word of God, or whether we are chasing everything that a dying world has to offer. Let's ask the Holy Spirit's direction and leadership in these last moments of this service. Father, thank you for that gospel that was preached to us, that living and abiding Word. May each of us find our necessary food, spiritual food, in it this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.